Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
I was just singing to the studio just a second ago.
Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me.
Well, some people think it's weird. I don't know. I just had a thing for the room. My friend Rick Hogan is here. It is always a delight to see you, sir.
You too. I'm kind of honored to be here for the last fling at the tower.
Well, you guys already left.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the Chicago Tribune newspaper?
I have no idea.
All right.
I just been wandering around saying, hey, whenever I see someone with the Tribune under their arm, which is very rare, I'll say, hey, do you know where the building is? We're at the correct address. It's not as stylish as 435 North Michigan. It's 160 North Stetson.
North Stetson.
Yes. We are on the sort of east side of the Prudential Building, which is a venerable old
building. Is that per one or per two?
Two. One. No, I don't know.
It's probably the first person.
I don't know. It's a real mess over there. Yeah. I never spent much time in that part of the city. Of course, I went to the top of the Rock as a kid.
Sure.
When the Prudential Building was the only thing there. I mean, it's crazy over there. It's like some futuristic city over there.
Well, you should say our new studios are unbelievable.
I saw them. I went up there. They are beautiful.
By the way, you on a radio Sunday night?
Yes, but I'm in here.
So you're going to do your last show Sunday night here.
I did my first show here in the Showcase studio, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and decided never to do it again because I thought, oh, this would be fantastic. They'll be able to talk to people.
The energy of the city.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 6:30 Sunday morning, there's not that much energy in the city. The first guy I talked to, I figure out, hey, I go, hi, how are you? Before I realized that he is wearing a bathrobe and a little hospital wristband.
And
he starts swearing like crazy.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, this is maybe not going to
turn out.
So
it was
well.
Steve Dale.
It gets worse. Then he started peeing on the window.
And I thought, well, that's not Steve Dale.
I went to Mary. Well, it could have been Steve. He was very messed up. He looked like he'd had no sleep.
This is from Mary June Rose, the previous.
Well, I went to Mary June Rose, the previous who gave me a show. Station manager, general manager, whatever she was, and said, I can't do the Showcase studio. Yeah. She goes, well, but it's such a great way to interact with people out
there. Once you brought up peeing on the building, did she see the light?
She did. Yeah, she did. It was a revelation for her.
Seems right. It's weird. I'm not going to lie to you. It's weird to leave in this place.
It's totally weird.
You came to the Tribune Tower what year?
I don't. '89.
Originally with your dad?
No, it was my mom. In the summer of 1937, my mother walked into this. She had graduated high school. She came here and took a job doing a variety of things in editorial. But the key.
Wait, is that where your mom met your dad? I don't know the story.
No, they didn't. My father was working nights here as a rewrite man covering crime. My mother was working all over the building doing many, many things because Colonel McCormick, who built this tower, kind of had a terrible crush on her immediately and, among many things, asked her to deliver. I don't know how he talks, so I'm not going to imitate him.
Nobody else does either. Feel free to do the voice. So deliver what?
Mary Lou, come up to the office with anything that is important downstairs. I want to see it, and I want to see it right away.
Right.
He used to bring his German Shepherd to work, the colonel did, and my mother was in charge. One of her many duties, a very unusual duty in the world of journalism, was to walk the colonel's dog. So she would walk maybe twice a day the colonel's German Shepherd called Lotta up and down Michigan Avenue.
How did she fight off his advances?
I'm not sure.
A long talk you had with mom that often?
It was a short talk, because when I realized she was going to night school, she was going to college at night, and she told me, well, and sometimes the colonel would have his chauffeur, Bill Bockelman, an ex-cop, a tough ex-cop, my mother called him, he would sometimes pick me up after school and drive me home to Rogers Park.
It was a different time.
At this point, I am thinking to myself, Mom, I'm probably in my 20s, I'm saying, Mom, come on, am I the colonel's son? Could I possibly be an owner of the Tribune?
One of the great thrills of being in this building is you might get a chance to see the colonel's office.
Yeah.
And the colonel's office and the conference room and everything that's upstairs is unbelievable. And the history is incredible.
Yeah.
But I never saw the secret room that allegedly exists. Do you know about the secret room, or was it just a fantasy?
You mean the Mary Lou Kogan room?
We're back in a moment. More with Rick Kogan right after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, really? That's tremendous. Do you remember when I was floating on the door and Spike didn't have room and he drowned? Remember? Remember? Yeah. You remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a different movie, but yeah. You got it.
Oh, this is right. This is Whitney.
This is the bodyguard. But no, you got it. I get it. Yeah. I get what you're doing.
Yeah. What's
I'm
Instagram?
Always there for you there, Steve.
Rick Hogan's here. All right, so give me a memory of the building. I mean, you've been in this building forever.
I've been in this building for about 35 years. You know, it's hard. One of the interesting things about leaving this building is if you work for the Tribune in this building, this place, your office, so to speak, or desk has been reconfigured about 20 different times. Mm-hmm. What I remember specifically is when you could smoke in this building.
How did I know this memory would revolve around you smoking?
Well, there are two stories considering smoking. One was when I was early on. I'm sitting, which Howard Reich, the jazz critic, and I were sharing a desk, and I was smoking as usual, and Howard said, touched his head and said, "I'm getting a horrible headache. Could you possibly stop smoking?" I go, Christ, Howard, it's all right. I smoke all the time. And then, like, 20 minutes later, he, like, falls out of his chair and has to be rushed to the hospital. I don't know quite what happened to him.
You killed him.
I thought I had killed him. I don't think it had to do with smoking. It was something else. The other...
Whoa. Okay, if someone shares a desk with you, collapse at work...
I'm the one who called the ambulance.
But you're one of the best reporters I've ever come across. You don't find an end to that story? You don't find out what happened to him?
I was too afraid. Yes, it's nicotine poisoning.
All right, what's the other story?
The other story was when there was an insurance thing, and the reason the Tribune became smoke-free was we saved $10 million across all Tribune properties by not allowing smoking. That obviously did not apply to the star of the Tribune, Mr. Mike Royko, who had a lovely office in the corner facing down on Michigan Avenue. And I was in there smoking one day when John Madigan, the CEO of the Tribune Company, walked in. And Mike's smoking, and I'm smoking, and some goof in the corner is smoking. And I start hiding. I start putting my cigarette out in my hand, which hurt like crazy.
I'd be sure.
And Mike is just sitting there smoking. John's like, "Hi, Mike. It's great to see you. What a great calm today." Mike's like, "Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot." The other one was when a group of Latino human beings were out in Michigan Avenue. Railing against a Royko column it was very satirical that we should take over Mexico and change because of drug problems. We should take over Mexico, invade Mexico, take it over, and turn it into nothing but like 100,000 golf resorts. And people took offense at that, so they were burning. They were burning the effigy of Royko out here, and they were burning newspapers
really?
In the middle of Michigan Avenue, right here, as you walk across to Walgreens. And what Mike had done, knowing they were going to do this, and he wasn't going to be there, he had a huge life-size cutout of John Wayne that he kept in his bathroom to scare people who used the bathroom. But he stuck in John Wayne holding 2 6-guns. He stuck it right in the window. These people no one saw it. Who was protesting saw it. And it was also the greatest protest sign I have ever seen in my life. It's a handmade sign. Hitler is alive and drunk and playing golf in Winnetka.
Wow!
Yeah.
Is that not the greatest protest sign ever?
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. You got to the core there.
I mean, there are, when you think about it, I mean, there are ghosts for me in this building and ghosts of people who have left this place, some of them not under great circumstances.
Yeah, we've lost friends.
A lot of people over the years have had to abandon this building.
Well, you promised that you and I will occasionally see each other, even though we're in separate buildings then?
Sure, we're close. I mean, we're not this close, but we're close over there.
And happy Father's Day.
You too, pal.
Yeah.
You too. Thanks.
Your little girl who just graduated from 8th grade used to come in here as a 3- and 4-year-old.
Oh, yeah. She thought, for some reason, she was...
Unbelievable.
She never listened to your show because... She doesn't listen to radio. She doesn't know what a radio is.
Right.
But she was fascinated with you and thought you were the nicest man because very few people would come up and hug a little loading dock or any few people I would allow to hug her on the loading dock. You were one of the few.
She's a great kid. She really is.
Yeah, I'm honored to be part of this.
But I love you.
Okay, see you at the new place. Well,